Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever that you are. I am speaking. This is Notes to First Time Junior Faculty. All those across the world and the globe, wherever that you are, I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem, and I wanted to come on for this new year first to say Happy New Year. Happy 2022. Now, wouldn't that be amazing 10 years from now? People are listening to this. Boop, 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 boop. All right. Got to get my voice ready because this is the year of all of us finding our voice through our hands, through our throats, through all the various ways. So, hey, junior faculty, I'm coming on to empower you six sharp ways to start your spring semester. Now, honestly, any and everybody who is sort of understanding the academic grind, we all can appreciate what are some tips, what are some tools, what are some strategies. And today, I had to come on to empower you so that way you can be in the know as you are preparing to not only continue with that spring semester, but for some of you to even walk into the classroom for the first time. Hello, this year is already starting to be its whole other realm of giving to the world, sharing with the world, being shown, and showing the world. All that said, how do we start a semester sharply? What does that mean? And it means for me, what that means is exactly what it says. Sharply is being very precise, being very bottom line, and also getting ready to cut, all right? So first thing, we've got to understand this whole umbrella of conversation today about six sharp ways to start our spring semester the right way. And again, this is for those junior faculty and whoever is tuning in at this moment. We got to set some ground rules. And these ground rules, they take different forms. It's almost like a spiral of many. There are the ground rules that you have for your research, for your teaching, and for your overall living. So again, we're speaking from that umbrella today about setting some ground rules. So where do we start? What's important? Again, as we move into the spring semester, you know, I was just thinking as we were starting, how many days in the week do we have? How many days in the week do you have? How many days in the week are you willing to give? So my first point is, I've really come to 2022. I am not giving up my Sundays. Now, some people are like, oh, I don't know how you do that. Well, I'm not giving it to the world. Sure, you're catching me on the airwaves, but back at. We have 7 days in a week, but then those are my 7 days. And then there are perhaps 6 or 5 days that you give to the world or to your job, your university, wherever that you are, you know, in this whole pathway. So I want to encourage you to think about possibly really reducing the give, where you give of your time and your energy on a Sunday, reduce it, because it really is a sacred day. And that's a day where we really need to get clear in ourselves and where we want to go. So in past episodes, I know that some of you all have heard me talk about the Sunday meeting. And it really is like Sunday meeting, Sunday goals. So again, think about either a day or, hey, Sunday is that perfect day where the world, the globe, just somehow slows down. So be willing to say, no, I'm not going to give up my Sundays unless it's for something that you would really enjoy. Like today, I actually am going to go to lunch with a colleague. And that's fun. We always have fun when we go have lunch. So I'm willing to do that. I got to eat, and we get to talk and just, like, delight in doing what we love. However, no. I really have begun to realize other people will move in on your Sunday. You can almost hear the truck with the beep, beep, I'm here. Oh, no. Take back your days. Take back your time. The other thing, moving on to the second insight. I've talked about this before. But because of where we are in the world, emails on a weekend really can't be the way forward. Seriously, we got to think about when we're thinking about setting some ground rules. Emails should not be allowed to seep all the way into a weekend, if at all. So on Friday, I found myself with homework for both of my departments. And I thought, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do some of this over the weekend. And I thought to myself, no, I can do some of this right now, and then it'll be a little bit more probably Monday morning, because my weekends are my weekends, and my weekends these days are for me to return to my book. What in the world? We've got to have boundaries. That is with physical space, and that is also with digital space. So, again, we've already gone over two insights. Find a day, or perhaps reconsider the importance of your Sunday, take a hold of it, pull it back, pull the reins, and allow that to be your day where you're not willing to give up yourself, your time, and your energy to the world. Nope, not available. And the second point is having greater digital boundaries, and that may be not doing emails on the weekend or, hey, maybe it's just not on Sunday. I admire anyone who can only do emails like a couple days a week, because then it just can get overwhelming with all the other days of the week. So you want to think about that. And I realize generationally we're all at it in different places. There wasn't the dominance of emails for me in grad school. There wasn't the dominance of emails. Maybe by the time I started junior faculty for myself, it was wow. By then, it was way more. But now it's just more and more and more. This is the year of more, many, and great multitudes. Look at all those twos. So you want to really have some space, some mental space, because, hey, you don't have to answer every email every moment. And we're going to be getting to that in just a moment. So, again, now I want to go to the third insight, and it's really in tandem with the first, to say whatever day that you choose, you've got to have a day of planning where you're having a meeting with yourself and a meeting with your goals. So I'm a big fan of calendars because I like to see the big picture. I like to know where are things going. So I encourage you to have a goal calendar. Is that for the month, for the semester, for the year? And you then want to think, you know, far beyond. And we'll get to that a little bit further, but have a day of planning, at least a day of planning, of meeting with yourself, your calendar of goals, or your goal calendar, whatever that you'll call it. So having that can allow you to see, this is where I want to be. Now, moving on to the next fourth point, it's really important. I want you to hear me, because it's a new concept, but it's an old, you know, there's different versions of it. But lately, I've been finding myself taking stock of how I give of my energy. And then I heard of this thing called time boxing. So I'm addicted to things to-do lists. And we know that can be exhaustive. It can go for like 5 pages. I got to do this and this and this, and everybody needs something. However, when we take real stock of how we're giving our energy to the world, and what that means is we do our things to-do list, and then you go back over it and think about it in categories of importance. Now we're really talking about who, what, when, where, and how. How does all this really matter? Who matters? In the number one, all the way down to if it's 100 things to do, what can get done today, tomorrow, next week, or perhaps next month? So I encourage you to do some research on time boxing. I'm in my own process of developing my Moose the King method that will help me, because y'all know I'm so ambitious. That's why I am on here at 9 in the morning on a Sunday encouraging you all to take stock of yourself, your goals, and how you allocate your energy, because how we give of ourselves and our energy, it takes away from the other things that we want to do. So whatever you give, there's something being taken away. And so you want to be able to, meaning, yeah, you know, whatever, leaning more this way than the other. But I encourage you to take stock and really learn about time boxing and really rethink your things to-do list. What is the must-do right now? And what is the, okay, I can breathe and we can roll with this, like, in a couple days. So think about that. All right. So we're moving on to the fifth point, and I got some extra goodies for you all today because, again, you know, there's what you can come and expect me to talk about six things, but you know there's always going to be more, so let's keep it moving. So the fifth point, insight, tip I would suggest is really being open to effective tools. Just like how I encouraged you to think about, do your own research on time boxing. Recently, I was talking with a former student of mine and good friend, and she was giving me all these other resources on how to be even more effective with time. So I even throw it out. She had offered, I didn't know about this, but apparently Pacemaker is like a way that you can kind of really plan out towards a project, or other people use it towards their life. But when I look at the evolution of technology, even in 22 years, from when I started grad school to where I am now, there are the mainstays. There are my go-tos. And for me, that's honestly Google. I mean, from having a computer catch on fire, you know, and then, you know, we go through new computers, we lose files, we're beyond the floppies, we're beyond the hard disk. So we've got to have something that no matter what, this is always going to work. And for me, that's been Google. And so that's been quite the evolution, but I encourage you all to really be open to these new forms of technology and new effective tools that can help you to be even more precise with your time and more precise with your just your work and your productivity. But don't get too caught up, because we've got to keep working on the work that needs to get done towards your bigger goal. If it's tenure, if it is, hey, I'm producing this movie, hey, whatever that your goals may be in the larger realm of it. Again, junior faculty, you know where you are, where you want to be. The big thing is being open to new tools that can help you to go to another level. All right. So sixth point. Now, this is real. Not to say none of it isn't before, but I say it because we're finishing this month of January, or at least this is when I'm recording it and when you're catching me. And so this is the month of self. You're the one, okay? So, but with one, it is clearing off the pathway with other things. What I'm getting to is that, you know, a lot of us came in with the new year. Oh, I got these goals. Oh, yeah, I got my resolutions. All right, boom, great. But within that, we got to think about what are we really, we got to give up something. And, of course, for other people, they'll say, oh, you know, not drinking, or going raw food, or I don't know, going to bed at 7, whatever that it could be. But you got to give it up, but now I'm going to be precise on this. You've got to give up the phone, and you got to give up social media at marked times. And what that means is, you know, for me now I have a basket at the door that I put the phone in. And mentally it allows my brain to just settle in and remember that I can focus and be in the time and not be running every time like a notification or this email came in. And social media, I also have pulled back on all of them, not all, but most of them, because it was becoming too much for me. So now I'm very particular about what I like, not feeling the need to be everywhere, because I really know the landscape of all the social media and all the various platforms. But there's somewhere I can breathe easy, pop in, pop out, do what I do. And then it just takes less energy. So for me, that's Twitter. And so that's come at the cost of I'm not always on Facebook anymore. It's really been a detox for almost 3-4 years because it's been too much. And Instagram, it was just too much coming at me. Less of me, but it was more like the world wanted to find me. So going back to this, when we think about we got to give it up, we do really need to think about the phone and social media, because if not, then we'll forget that on our computers we can be still connected in these social media or really just these other distracting platforms. I'm just going to go ahead and call it what it is. However, so am encouraging, and here's another thing, for those who have TVs like me, we've got to think about where the limit is on TV. However, there was one day I started having this feeling of, well, I may not want to allow myself to watch movies and shows and news, but I will gladly pump productivity music throughout the house for like 8 hours. And it's easier for me just to have it on the TV. It helps, too, because it puts my cats to sleep. And then I just am like, woo, 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 woo. I'm on it. So in saying that, in encouraging you all to think about what you want to sacrifice, what you want to declutter, give up for a lot more than you have in the past. I'm not saying forever or even, I'm not even saying a month or a week or, you know, even a day. It's about certain hours, whatever that you want. Because I think back, like, when I was 21, I decided, ooh, I'm just not going to watch TV or I'm not going to have a TV on. Yeah, I had one in the house, but I never turned it on for like 6 months. And there was a huge difference. So you got to think about what is taking away from your time with your work. Because our time, we've got to be stingy. There's just not enough of it. And then others will say that we get too much. So again, it's twofold, thinking about our phone, social media, but then you want to think about what can you integrate that will always encourage productivity. And for me, that is productivity music. So there will be a future episode where I will speak at length about that, because everyone goes to that, oh, yeah, everybody knows about binaural beats. That's great. Well, but what works? Some of those are absolutely terrible, and some are, woo, oh, my gosh, I got halfway through a dissertation. You know, we want to know so we can activate our productivity. So, all right, I got two more extras for you. And what that is connected with, it's the important stuff. It's even more important. Again, because we know this spring semester, what do we have on baseline that is just like a guarantee that is going to happen, that we're working in between? We are going to be teaching. We're going to be going to committee meetings, probably going to be going to some coffees or some dinners, things like that, or even spending time looking at job talks or whatever that it could be. And the other thing is we're thinking about our research. So the teaching, the research, you know, there's all these various components. So how are we navigating in that? And what I'm pointing to is almost like it's a couple things. There's the first thing I want us to think about is the eagle eye, having the bigger view from January until March. There's the big bubble that we know that there's the routine in between, and then there's what we do in between. There's sort of what we do in between all of the normal routine. What I'm pointing to, one really important thing that you will be smart to think about all over again is your sleep time, your bedtime, your sleep time, okay? Sleep matters. And I encourage you right now to think about your sleep patterns. Now, I will admit, it really depends on where you are in the process of writing a book, of finishing a project. Whatever that it may be, you still need to have a strategy on your sleep time, because an hour can't work. 3 hours for some can't work. Hey, but, you know, I know that we have people at different places in their sort of overall sleep worlds, but you got to be stingy with the world, and you need to be generous with yourself to give yourself more sleep time. And also to really kind of think about your sleep patterns. How do you move, like, on a daily? And for me, everything shuts down like a machine at certain times. And then it is like there's no waking me up. I just drift on into mentally or, you know, my conscious goes on to another side. And I'm asleep until certain times. So typically these days that could be like 9 or 10. And then getting up about 4:30, 5 o'clock, you know, sleeping in could be about 6:30, 7 is, whoa, what is going on? But, I mean, it's still great. But I'm okay with it because I've come a long way with sleep. And, again, I'm going to have a future episode even on sleep. so we can think about that, because I have gone with 1 hour of sleep for like a whole month, 1 hour a day for a whole month, and it was the most dangerous thing that I did. However, it got some things done. But again, your bedtime, your sleep time, whatever, you got to be stingy with the world and be extremely generous with yourself. Give yourself some sleep time, okay? And with that, you know, have some good pillows, good sheets. You know, you want that comfy. So in the future, we'll be talking about the comfy. How do we activate that while we're being productive? Now, going back to this last point, going back to the eagle eyes, the eagle view, the eagle eyes view, where you are right now in January, getting ready to go into February, I want you to see yourself in May and think about what's the one thing that you can get excited about connected to your research that you can plan out. Now, I want you to go back to January or go on to February, and then I want you to look at spring break. What could you implement in a new way that would be useful for your research? The teaching will go on autopilot. So let's kind of like put that bubble to the side. But I want you to zero in on spring break, and I want you to zero in on the ending of the semester where you mark and say, hey, we got the vacation message. Hey, I am on summer break. You got to put that in your calendar, but I also want you to plan your trip. I want you to plan for something. I encourage you, because then you are keeping the vibrations going on your research and moving towards the bigger projects, but it's also staying ahead. So I'll kind of keep it easy there, but that's how we should think. Like, we should be thinking, if you're going to go to a conference, maybe you can do a research trip. We should be thinking spring break, hey, some of us may go to the beach and some of us may go diving up in the archives. So by the end of the semester, we've got to also figure out those boundaries. Nope. Can't write any more letters. Nope. I'm not going to be sitting here talking about your future every day. Nope. I'm done with the committee work, because the greatest time that we get to ourselves to do our research most is in the summer. And you know that there will be episodes talking about how to effectively use your summer. But today we're talking in the spring, because I want to encourage all those junior faculty out here for the spring semester. Things can go light, they can feel light, but you know every day they can feel heavy because we're constantly using our minds. So that's why it's important to get sleep. In fact, I'll even add in, try to find some time for whatever meditation can be for you. We need the lightness of the mind. There's so many stresses and expectations of us right now that is like never before. Excuse me. So that's why it's important to set a myriad of ground rules. And that's why today I wanted to come on and empower you and all of us about setting ground rules. So I want to go back over it really quick that, all right, think about that one day where you're not willing to give up to the world at all, or maybe half of it, whatever that you'll decide. So I say, don't give up your Sundays. Point two, I'm encouraging you, don't do emails on weekends, whatever way that can be. Really save the space for work, whatever that you can do, but really limit your emails where you're giving to the world and your job and this whole tenure track process. If you can, reduce the email exchange on weekend. But if you're like, I got to do it, hey, do it. You know, but really take stock of that time. So third point, you know, you want to have a day that is your day of planning, having a meeting with yourself, and your goal calendar. It is time to be goal efficient. If you want to get ahead, if you want to stay ahead, if you ever dare want to be ahead, you have got to plan, okay? So, all right, next, we're talking about, all right, fourth point is about taking stock of your time and your energy. I encourage you to go do some research and create your own version of time boxing. And that is, again, giving categories to importance of what has to get done and when and how we have the time and the energy, or we choose to allocate. Look, our chair cannot always be 24/7 that they get a response from us. Sometimes it needs to be, hey, a few hours from now, hey, maybe tomorrow, whatever that it may be. All right. So fifth point, be very open to effective tools. Not just everybody's all. You have to. No. Be open to effective tools that can lead you to productivity. Okay? Because we're over here trying to encourage reduction of the distractions. All right, sixth point, and remember that this was twofold. You gotta really get clear on the path. We gotta let some things go. We gotta dig clutter, but really, you gotta give it up. We gotta give up the phone and the social media. But you gotta think about what times, how much. Sometimes it's actually enjoyable to give ourselves some time on that with that. But you gotta give it up because we got to stop. We gotta just sort of give up all the energy, break up a little bit. But also think about if we're giving something up, what can we integrate that will help keep us productive? I encourage you to go look up some of the best productivity music that works for you. All right, our two bonus points that I wanted to encourage for you to think about all the time is your bedtime is your time. Your sleep time matters. So be stingy with the world and be generous with yourself. Give yourself so much time for sleep. However, we do still have to think about the different categories that we got to get done on the pathway. So research, teaching, we need sleep in between, committee work, sometimes need a little nap before we go to battle. All right. And then our last second bonus point, it is about encouraging you to have, begin to find, and use your ego eyes. Think about where you are now. Think about where you want to be. Not by the end of the year just yet. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to get there. And we do want to plan there. But we got to think about, we have a world to navigate between now and May. For some of you, maybe June. Bless your heart. All right. Well, we can even think February to May. We're navigating all of that. But you got to have ego eyes. Where and how can you plan out to get you towards your research, to get back to your research site, to get back to the writing. Hey, maybe a writing retreat, maybe a meditation retreat, whatever that is going to be. I want to encourage you to think about your spring break and the ending of the semester. Where would you like to be that can help activate your research? Want to go ahead and plan, put it in the calendar, make calls, go ahead and book your Airbnb, whatever that you do, okay? So, all right, we've been talking a whole lot. Most of all, I'm really encouraging you to set some ground rules so you can better see your future. And in future episodes, I will, again, be encouraging us to think about tools, music, and even the integration of Cozy. What does that mean? Well, guess what? Next episode or in a future episode, you want to hear, tune in, and learn more about how we can be cozy and also productive. So, hey. I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Musakeem, and I was coming on to empower all those junior faculty out there. Again, this is Notes, first-time junior faculty, 6 sharp ways to start your spring semester, but you know you were empowered with so much more. In fact, you got, 8 points so you can move and activate your power. All right, now I'll be talking to you soon. I'll be encouraging you to walk even more deeply into your greatest path on the pathway. All right, now, bye-bye.